to appreciate the privilege of being here today. I'd like to read in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6 and 2 says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." The question is, how is bearing one another's burdens fulfilling the law of Christ? Let's look in Luke chapter 10. Luke 10 and 30, Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, 'Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.'" Jesus said, "Bear ye one another's burdens." And that's why Jesus came. He came to relieve us of our burden of sin. And he wants us to be able to bear the burdens of others. If you think about it, the law of Christ, which is to bear the burdens of others, transcends all other laws. The law of man, in the case of the Samaritan, I don't know, maybe the man that was left there for dead by the thieves was a Jew. But the Samaritan was willing to go beyond the law of prejudice, the law of revenge, the racial barriers. He was willing to go beyond that, and Christ gave that as an example of, this is a fulfillment of my law. The law to bear one another's burdens, the law of Christ. Matthew 22 and 36, a lawyer was tempting Jesus, and he asked, "Master, what is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." If we want to know what the law of Christ is, Jesus told us these are the two most important parts of the commandment: that we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and secondly, that we love our neighbor as ourselves. So when we are carrying the burdens of others, when we are considering the needs of others and relieving them of troubles in life, then that is helping us fulfill the law of Christ. In Isaiah 32:33-22, we have a description of the Lord as a lawgiver. Isaiah 33 and 22 says, "The Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us." Christ is a king. He has a kingdom. And kingdoms are governed by laws, aren't they? Well, there is a law in the kingdom of Christ, and there is a law of another kingdom, the kingdom of darkness. It's the kingdom where the law of flesh reigns. And when we live in this world, really, we're subject to one of those two kingdoms and their laws. The lawless may feel like they're not subject to any law, but really, we are governed by a set of laws. Either we are going to be governed by the laws of the kingdom of Christ, the law of Christ, or will be governed by the law of the kingdoms of this world, the law of the flesh. When we obey a set of laws, we're going to get results. Either the results that come from obeying the laws of the kingdom of darkness or the laws of the kingdom of light. Imagine two worlds. A world that was primarily governed by the kingdom, by the law of Christ, and a world that was primarily governed by the different set of laws, the laws of the flesh. Which world would you rather live in? A world governed by Christ's laws, or a world governed by the law of the kingdom of darkness, the law of flesh? Romans chapter 6 and 23. Romans 6 and 23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The laws of the kingdom of this world will bring about death. The kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of sin, of living in the flesh, that's going to bring about death in society, in our lives. It will destroy. But the gift of God, if we obey the kingdom of the laws of Christ, if we follow the laws of his kingdom, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Which world would you rather live in? We have a choice, don't we? Not in this physical world. We live in a world that is filled with sin. But in the spiritual realm, we do have a choice of which kingdom has its laws to have dominion over us. Genesis 6 gives us a picture of what a world looks like when people subject themselves to the laws of sin. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, "God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that the imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." Verse 11, "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And the Lord looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And the Lord, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth." This is a result of following the laws of the flesh, the laws of the kingdom of darkness. The earth becomes corrupt. There is a law of God that we can find in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Galatians 6 and 7 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Andrea was pointing out the bulbs she planted along the driveway. And I thought about life, how we can plant things along life's way that will bring beauty in our lives, that will be a blessing to both us and others. Now she gets to enjoy those flowers, other people get to enjoy them. So it is in life. The things that we plant, those are the things that we're going to sow. This is a law of God, that he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But Satan wants to contest the validity of that law. He wants to have us believe that we can sin and still be happy, that we can take prayer out of schools, we can take God out of our lives, and everything is still going to be all right. But there is a law of God that applies to this. Yes. Satan would have us believe that if our marriage has trouble, that we can just abandon that and do something different. But the law of Christ is, husbands, love your wives. Wives, reverence your husbands. And in Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. This is the law of Christ. The law of the flesh says, if I please myself, I will be happy. But the law of Christ says, if I serve others, I will be happy. John chapter 12, verses 24 through 25. Jesus teaching, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. But he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. I thought about this corn of wheat. Unless it falls into the ground and in a sense dies, it decomposes to an extent, it just abides alone. And I thought about how that people making a choice to be selfish, there is a loneliness that comes with that. Have you ever seen any lonely rich people? People that just give themselves over to the pleasures of life, to the pleasures of sin. If a wheat, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. If we are willing to follow the law of Christ, we're willing to sacrifice for others, lift the burdens of others, think of all the fruit that that will bring in our lives, the fruit of happiness. John chapter 13 and verse 13. Jesus said, ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done unto you. This goes right along with the thought of bearing one another's burdens and fulfilling the law of Christ. If we are willing to serve other people, we're willing to consider their needs, lift their loads, see what makes them happy in life, then we're fulfilling the law of Christ. Verse 34 says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, ye also, that ye also love one another. This is the law of Christ, that we love one another, just as Christ loved us, that we have that same love one to another. In Matthew 5 and verse 21, ye have heard that it was said by them of old, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Jesus came bringing a law that held a higher standard than that of the Old Testament. Whoever calls his brother Raca, which is worthless fellow. It's easy to despise others, isn't it? To look down on those who do wrong, those who treat us wrong, those whose capabilities may be less than ours, whatever it may be, it's so easy to look down on others. But that's not a fulfillment of the law of Christ. Whosoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. Whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Fool is a rebel against God, apostate from all good. This term implied among the Jews the highest enormity, the most aggravated guilt. To call somebody, to judge them and call them a rebel against God, an apostate from all good. We need to be very careful the types of curses we're willing to put on other people, the types of judgments we're willing to place. Clark says, in the coming world, there are different degrees of punishment prepared for different degrees of vice. And not only the outward act of iniquity should be judged and punished by the Lord, but the injurious words and evil passions should all meet their just recompense and reward. Verse 27 says, ye have heard that it was said by them of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath already committed adultery with her in his heart. There's a higher standard than simply outward conformance. There is a condition of the heart, which is the law of Christ, that the heart is to be right with God. And he goes on in verse 29 and says, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. In other words, whatever it takes to comply with the law of Christ, be willing to do that. No matter what sacrifice it is, it's going to be worth it, isn't it? Verse 31, it hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. The law of Christ. In Proverbs 31, it speaks of the virtuous woman. And it says, it speaks of her tongue being governed by the law of kindness. Proverbs 31 and 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her law, in her tongue, is the law of kindness. Now, laws govern, don't they? So, the law of Christ is that our tongues be governed by kindness. James chapter 3 speaks of our tongues. James chapter 3 and verse 3, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us. We turn about their whole body, and behold, also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. The law of Christ applies to our tongues as well by imposing the restriction of kindness on our tongues. There are rewards from following laws, you believe? We were at the immigration officer, and we were trying to get our global entry IDs so that we could enter the country with more ease. And the immigration officer asked me, "Have you ever been arrested?" Well, there's an advantage to following the law. It'd be bad if you had to say, "Well, I was hoping you wouldn't ask that question." It's nice to be able to lie down and sleep at night and not worry about somebody breaking in the door and handcuffing you and hauling you away to jail. There's an advantage to following the law, isn't there? In civil law and in spiritual law. When we follow the law of God, I believe there's going to be a great reward. I believe it's like that grain of wheat that we put in the ground, and it brings forth manifold. Well, what happens if I follow the law of Christ and instead of accumulating as much wealth for myself as I can, spending all my time on myself, I spend some time giving to others? What happens? Am I not going to lose something financially? Am I not going to get behind? Well, let's look what Jesus had to say in Luke 6:38. Jesus said, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again." Regardless of how we do financially, there is a great blessing from following the law of Christ, from being willing to look for burdens of others to lift, to help carry, to try to be a servant to other people, to try to be that good Samaritan that was willing to cross racial lines. Think of the scribe and the Levite, the priest, whoever he was, that passed on. He was very intent on following laws, wasn't he? And he missed the law of Christ, the law that Jesus came to bring to help other people. Another benefit to following the law of Christ is that we have a sense of self-worth in life. We feel like our life is accomplishing something. Jesus said in Matthew 10:8, "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give." This is the law of Christ, to freely give. Paul said that Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than receive. Now, we don't find Jesus' exact words in the gospel where he said that, but there were a lot of things Jesus said that were not written down. I believe that is a part of the law of Christ, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. I think it would be good for every one of us, me included, to go forward in life and think, how can I fulfill the law of Christ? Life brings us difficulties, problems that we don't know how to solve. The question is, what does the law of Christ say? How would I handle it if I were trying to comply with the law of Christ? That's the result that will give us the best outcome in life, is following the law of Christ. The song says, "O write thy law of holiness in living characters of flame, that by a life of purity I may be worthy of thy name." Christ's law will result in holiness in our lives. "O write thy law of tenderness and of compassion in my breast, till heart and voice and hand reach out to help the weary and distressed." When we are following Christ's law, when Christ's law is written in our hearts, it will make our hearts so tender that we're going to reach out to help the distressed. We'll be looking for ways to lift other people's burdens. Do you believe there are any opportunities to help someone else with their burdens in life? Are there any needy people? Are there sick people, lonely people? Are there people who are struggling under the burden of sin, that we will look for the opportunity? Is there any way that I could help relieve that person's burden somehow? people that have emotional problems, emotional needs. Doesn't the scripture say to comfort the feeble-minded? It's the law of Christ. It's the law he came bringing that is so superior to the law of justice. Now let me explain what the law of justice is. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. That sounds fair, doesn't it? You take out my eye, I take out yours. There is a law that transcends the law of justice, and that is the law of Christ. It is the law of, you put my eye out, now let me see how I can help you in life. Let me see how I can be a blessing to you. Have you ever turned an enemy into a friend? That's a blessing. That's a wonderful feeling to recognize that enemy transitioned into a friend. That's a part of the law of Christ to help expand his kingdom. It'll be a blessing to our life. It'll be a blessing to others. May God help all of us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is our desire that your laws will govern our lives. We have seen the result of the law of the kingdom of darkness in our own lives in the past. In the lives of those in the world, in our society, we see what is happening when people turn their hearts away from the law of God. It is our prayers, our desire that your law be written in our hearts, that we comply with your law, that we seek your law, that our conscience be tender toward your law. Lord, we need to understand it. Help us, Lord. Give us understanding where we lack understanding. Give us your grace. Give us victory. Give us courage. When our enemy does us wrong, help us, Lord, still to obey the law of Christ and to love our enemies. Help us, Lord, to find that person that needs help. That person that has a load that is too heavy in life, that is emotionally distressed, that may be suicidal. The person that is sick and in need, help us, Lord, to have a heart full of compassion to reach out to that person. Lord, we know that your law is the best, that it is the law we will be judged by someday. So help us to obey it, Lord. Help us to please you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.